This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
All this time, Porter, everything you've done, everything you've said, I've heard all about. So you've made some remarks in the past about when is Papa Fritz going to be here. Papa Fritz is here.
Episode 37, where we're going to be discussing WCCW 48 on from November 20th, 1982. That leaving us, man, about a month out to the big Christmas show with Kerry and Flair in the cage. Michael Hayes, the special ref. You have the six-man tag on that show. Really looking forward to that. Of course, I mean, I'm joined with Johnny and Kelly. Johnny, man. How you doing?
Doing great.
Kelly, man, how you doing?
Doing awesome, brother.
Awesome. Man, it's so exciting to get the Freebirds in here. My energy level is just up now. Even though I will admit, I mean, the last show wasn't a grand slam, and this show sure enough
it was a hit to the pitcher, basically.
Yeah, this is the you're going for it. You're trying to bunt, and you miss.
Called third strike.
Bunt to get on the base.
My little leaguers that I'm coaching, who a month ago none of them knew how to play baseball, and now are putting on baseball games as best as they can put on a more entertaining baseball referenced show than the one we just watched, for the most part.
I hope so. I don't even know what you're talking about.
I want to talk about my Little League team and how proud I am of them.
Segue there. Man, we open up with Al Madrill, Bugsy McGraw, versus the Checkmate and Wild Bill Irwin. You know, we've talked about how the talent level isn't very good for the most part. But you know what? On top of it, the talent level isn't very good, and they don't even make sense in tag teams. They're like, on paper, this makes zero sense. They have nothing in common, honestly. What would Checkmate and Wild Bill Irwin talk about? What would Al Madrill... And, I mean, obviously, I would talk about fucking Elvis, and Bugsy would talk about the little of the kindergarten down the street. I mean...
Well, at this point, I know, but here's the thing. I think, they're tag team partners, I'm sure he doesn't live with Bugsy like he lives with Kerry. They're just tag team partners. They probably still, he likes to get high with Bugsy, and Bugsy makes him laugh when he's talking gibberish,
It hurts the matches because there's no chemistry.
That, of course, but...
What are your thoughts, Kelly?
Let's see. Bugsy's more sensibly dressed this week, so that's a plus. And
is it?
Well, compared to what he's been wearing,
I guess. Now he can go into a restaurant without people staring. I guess.
People would definitely still stare.
Yeah, it's not that good, but it's an improvement. So he's been kind of feuding with the Checkmate, I guess. And he finally kind of gets the better of the Checkmate here by dropping down to the Armadillo defense before the Checkmate does.
Aha!
Aha! And the crowd did pop pretty big for that. Because they'd been building that for a while. But this is a very long match. And it didn't really have much storytelling to it. It was just a bunch of random... heats and then shines and, it was just all over the place. And the finish.
Yeah, the only thing interesting was Al Madrill's face in peril work, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, Al's always good for, you know, solid two-star action. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, when everyone else was giving us half-star effort.
Yeah, well, I mean, Jesus, we haven't seen two stars in a long time.
Okay, Kelly, so that means, I think what you're getting at is, it doesn't matter how many stars the match is, Al always gives a two-star effort. So,
exactly. Yeah. Kenny Omega, eat your heart out. It's all about Al and his two stars.
It's all about consistency.
You don't need seven. That's just ridiculous. Exactly.
Keep it current.
The finish was weak, though, with Al having Irwin in the figure four. But the ref got distracted, and I thought they didn't really make that obvious in real time. And then Al was pinned. Checkmate came off the top rope and hit him with a knee. But then Bronco saves the day and overrules the finish and awards it to the heroes by disqualification. So that was pointless. Yeah, par for the course.
Johnny, what were you thinking out there on this science experiment here?
Science, bad, weird science. But no, wait, that movie was good. Strike that. When I saw the participants, and my heart just sank. I was like, not again. And I like some of these guys. I like Bill Irwin. Bill Irwin, just fine. You know, we've at this point, I was like, Checkmate just got here, and we were saying, no, he's not a bad wrestler, but Al's a solid two-star guy, and Bugsy, can be entertaining. I was like, I feel like I've seen these people just so much, and it's just, what more can you fucking do? And speaking of Bugsy, just talking gibberish, this I enjoyed. They were doing a thing where, because they got the cameras in the ring, and those cameras have microphones on them, Bugsy's taking advantage of that, and I hear what he's saying. He's shouting gibberish into the microphone like he's talking. It makes no sense, but then you hear him say, "I know you're listening, Uncle Fofi." I was like, "Uncle Fofi." And Al's kind of popping for it just a little and giggling. I'm like, "Oh, okay, he's popping Al." And I was like, that's my favorite part of this match because I don't care about anything else. Bugsy's doing his Three Stooges routine. And Bill Mercer says, his Four Stooges routine. Boy. And then he starts talking about the Freebirds, which makes sense. They're the hottest thing, you know. And he's like, the Freebirds are the ones here making the hearts of all, making the hearts twitter of all the little girls. I was like, it's creepy and doesn't make sense. But and Bundy comes out at the end and is clearing house because Bundy's on strike except when he's not. And but it's really, he's like, I hate Gary Hart. I don't hate my friends and stablemates because they're my coworkers, and maybe he can lead them in the revolution to start a union because he's on strike. I like that. But yeah, otherwise it's like I'm tired of these guys.
Agreed. And that leads us into a David Von Erich versus Destroyer number 2 match. This is just felt like a guy. It's kind of a setup. These guys just mat wrestling, pretty much. Right, Kelly?
I don't have much to say about this one. This was pretty crummy. I do love David's high knee.
Do you?
Yes. Better than Kenny Omega's V-trigger. So, again, Kenny, you're way off here. But it was a nothing match. The Destroyer got pinned after a very weak-looking knee drop off the top rope. And then when they showed the replay, it was like, oh, Jesus. He didn't come close.
They're hitting him, yeah.
And why was that the finish anyway? Because it's not something David uses as a finish. I don't know.
Yeah, it's like, dude, where's the fucking claw? You know? or what happened to his sister Abigail?
Gary's back. Gary's back. He's got the claw.
So that, this is his new finish, is a crappy looking knee thing off the top rope.
Yeah, and this is again Jay Saldi going, oh, that's a finishing move used by both Bob Orton and Bob Orton Jr. And I'm like, what the fuck? Who turned on Jay's brain? He got that over as a finisher.
He must have watched the Florida thing they sent on the network for the upload. Yeah, man, this was just boring wrestling. I mean, it wasn't terrible. Or it was just, it felt like it was like a showcase for David to Matt wrestle with Destroyer 2. And Destroyer 2 was fine to Matt wrestle. But yeah, but it was just there. I thought David looked crisp with his headlock work, but, blah, who cares? What about you, John?
Here's how much attention I was paying to this match. Because really, I was like, this, this sucks. I saw that right away. I love David Von Erich, but I was like, this sucks. And when I finally looked up, it was the end because I heard the Orton reference, saw the replay, and went, that's a pretty cool move. And that's it.
Fair enough. And then that leaves us to, they're just piling on the matches, there's no segues. This is nothing, match after match.
Yeah, but here's the thing, they announced it at the beginning. Bill says, it's tag team night here. Is it? That implies all tag team matches. That's not what's happening.
No, but now we're back to tags. And okay. We have Hayes and Gordy versus Kabuki and the Dragon. Oh, Kelly, talk about it, man.
The Freebirds were introduced as the Toast of the Coast.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that was what they called Gorgeous George back in the 50s.
Yeah. They used it too. I love it.
Yeah, they used it quite often.
So they mean like the East Coast, Florida? Is that what they're referring to?
The Southern Alabama.
Oh yeah, the Gulf
Coast. The Gulf Coast.
Okay.
And that's where Michael Hayes was born, kind of lived. Right. In Pensacola.
Okay.
And then Robert Gibson.
Okay, it makes sense then. Sounded a little odd, though. Let's see. Yeah, this is where I made the note of, like, outside of the Freebirds, this territory is a mess at this point. Stale talent. We kind of went over this in the previous episode. Stale talent, crappy gimmicks, matches filled with botches, bad commentary, lackluster feuds, bad matches. Yeah, they've made some strides, but oof, they still have a long way to go. It was cool to see Kabuki go against Gordy. That was a cool little matchup. There was another botch in this match where Bronco was accidentally smacked in the head.
Yeah.
they seem to like whacking Bronco around every now and then.
He goes down on a knee like he's selling it, but it didn't play any part in the match at all. It was a botch. And Gordy got worked over for quite a bit, but gained control. And this was the finish. You're expecting a hot tag. Like, Gordy's being, the heat was on him. He's playing face in peril. But no, there's no hot tag. Gordy just gains control and pins the Dragon after an elbow drop.
But what he set him up with after the elbow drop, because fucking Dragon's doing his stupid backflip bullshit.
Right.
And Gordy scattered him, and Terry Bam Bam Gordy does a standing drop kick right into him doing his dumb flip move.
Yeah.
That was the setup to the finish. I was like, that was amazing. He's the best.
Yeah, this match made Gordy look awesome, that's for sure. It was okay.
I will say, though, this is something I like the booking, where the Freebirds are, clearly baby faces right now, are beating heels that have feuded with the Von Erichs before. And so it's helping build the Freebirds up as a, more of a viable threat down the road. Mm-hmm. So in that essence, I thought the segment was effective. It still wasn't, it wasn't no shakes of a match, but, not everything is all about the work rate and all that stuff at times. And I felt this was an important piece of the cog of these guys were used to be the heels, the lead heels. Freebirth of the baby faces still, but they're eventually going to be the lead heel group, and it's kind of like the new is, you know, surpassing the old, so that's a good thing. It was almost like a passing of the torch in a way.
And while you're on that point, and we were talking about, like, oh, the lackluster booking and this and that, you have to know that they're banking it all on this Freebirds Von Erichs feud to set the territory on fire, and that's clearly what they're doing since they brought them in here. It wasn't a last minute decision to turn them heel. It was they had a reputation to, you know, to set a territory on fire, and so therefore, how much do you really give a shit about everything else? Because they also know when it is on fire, you will be able to attract more talent. So some of these guys got to know as they see this, when they do see it's way results. Once the results happen, boom, you know, these guys know our spots are gone.
And then leads us Johnny into the big angle here.
The beginning of the match with the gorilla.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that.
I'm confused now. I'm into the Bundy eating wings.
Oh no, because before that match, Bundy eating wings. It's the best. But before the Birds match, someone's in a gorilla suit trying to scare Kabuki, like. Because he's supposed, remember he got scared of a guy in a gorilla suit because, ooh, gorillas scare him. And now Kamuki's not scared anymore and just standing there staring at this. And it's just, what the fuck is going on? But also, Jay got to say this. Terry Gordy, he'd run on the ropes, like you said, and bumping. He says, when Terry Gordy fell down, the whole building shook. I'd like to see what was happening if he was body slammed. And I'm thinking to myself, he's probably thinking, I'm serious. This place is a shithole. Might fall right apart. I'm like, what's happening? Jay's good.
Bizarro world now. Nothing makes sense. But so the gorilla, wasn't that supposed to be Bugsy, though?
But they never took his mask off.
Yeah, and I forgot all about that. But
thinking it might be Bundy, since they were teasing a Kabuki feud.
Yeah.
Kabuki's standing there. He's not going, nothing anymore. But he's kind of like, just keep your distance, gorilla. You know, because when I first saw you, what the fuck do I know? I'm from the melting pots of sin. You know, you might have been a gorilla. I'm not going to be fooled again. I know you're not a gorilla, but I'm going to keep my eye on you. What are they doing?
I don't know. It seemed totally just random.
It was a fan.
Anything.
It was a fan. It just ran into a gorilla suit.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Hey, pro wrestling announcer Kevin Kelly here. I want to make sure you are all subscribed to all the great feeds here at Place to Be Nation. It's really easy to do. Just head to iTunes or your preferred podcatcher app today and search and subscribe to the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed, which, of course, includes the full archives of the Kevin Kelly Show, the Place to Be Nation pod feed, and the pro wrestling only feed. Subscribe, listen, and then rate us and leave feedback today. And be sure to give Justin your true thoughts. I mean, don't hold back. After all, he is kind of a jerk. Just listen to Scott.
Place for Nations, JT Rosero and Chad Campbell here. We want to let you know that we have a ton of great podcasts available to you on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlaceForNation.com. We offer them to you on two great feeds. On the Place for Nation wrestling feed, we bring you the Mothership, the Place to Be podcast, along with Main Event, Survey Says, the Monday Night Wars, and our monthly pay-per-view reaction show, as well as Jeff Learns Wrestling. In addition to these full-length shows, we also deliver special network podcasts and pod blasts on topics old and new.
Over on the Pro Wrestling Only feed, we dive deep inside the wrestling business with a stacked army of experts leading the way. The feed features potpourri shows such as This Week in Wrestling, Greetings from Allentown, Match of the Week podcasts, and the Military Industrial Suplex. We also have shows that focus intently on certain topics like Through the Years, Worldcast, Strong Style History, Strong Style Story, and Mount Olympus. Plus, The Feed has the full archives of legendary shows like Titans of Wrestling, Where the Big Boys Play, Letters from Center Stage, and Letters from Kayfabe, plus much more. And on our very popular Place to Be Nation Pop podcast feed, we offer such great shows as Talking Pop, The Glenn Butler Podcast Hour Spectacular, NBA Team, PTBN Play, Sunday Groove, Breaking Balls, and Lucha Undead,
as well as a veritable podcast heaven for comics fans
with the hard-traveling fanboys, Sellers Points, Todd Weber's Conversations, Geek and Sassy, and Marvel Age Podcasts.
You can find all of these current shows, plus archives of our past podcasts, including The Kevin Kelly Show, as well by subscribing to both feeds on iTunes. And while there, be sure to rate and leave feedback today. All these shows, plus others, available at PlayStation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus in-depth stretch projects, and more. Be sure to support our site by using PlayStation.com/Amazon when doing your online shopping, and download our free PTB Vintage Vault Refresh ebooks via the links on our site. We also want to thank our friends at Boneheads, Wing Bar in West Warwick, Rhode Island, in Fall River, Massachusetts, and TheHistoryOfWrestling.com. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr as well. PlayStation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Well, let's talk Bundy's rebuttal then.
Oh, yes.
Johnny's eating wings.
Yes.
What's going on here, man?
The wings. Okay, let's just address the fact he's eating wings, because normally you go with – was the budget so small that they couldn't get him a big, giant chicken leg to eat? Like, no, this is it. Or is he like, no, I like wings. he's with Mercer. And he's down at the docks where King Kong Bundy is currently earning a living while he's on strike from Gary Hart. Okay, I like that. Except these aren't docks. These are apparently an abandoned railroad yard. he gets out of a railroad train where King Kong Bundy's sitting in an abandoned railroad train eating wings. And that's where they decided to film this. And I remember this because I was like, I saw this show apparently, or I saw this on WWE On Demand. But he's talking to Mercer and he explains everything. He's like, I'll tell you all about how I knew about the hit on Kerry. He calls it the hit on Kerry, which sounds awesome.
Yeah.
And what's also awesome is with his giant hands, he's eating little wings, and it draws your eye. It's fucking hilarious. But he basically explains that he was sent to Atlanta as an errand boy. This guy's like the checkmate for that bullshit, to go and deliver the check to Ricky Flair. So he decided, that straw that broke the camel's back with all this shit, and he made a Xerox copy of that check, and he called up Fritz Von Erich. And he goes, I got proof. What are you willing to pay me? Because King Kong Bundy is always about money. And so Fritz is forced to pay King Kong Bundy money here. And then Bundy goes, I figured it was worth, $8,000 or $9,000, so I asked him for $10,000. I was willing to take $8,000 or $9,000, but all he offers me is $5,000. $5,000. That's all I was going to get out of him. Basically implying, cheap son of a bitch. Like, nothing. Mm-hmm. Bundy's greedy. He's all greedy.
That was probably a Gary Hart idea, too.
Yeah, that's good shit. I like that.
Because that's why Gary Hart quit as the booker, was the payoff for the December show.
Oh, there you go. I wasn't even thinking about that. It was an inside dig on Fritz's payoffs.
Yeah, no, it wasn't. No, I'm sorry, I'm wrong. It wasn't the December show. It was the reunion show with Flair. How it popped the territory for a week, and and his pay didn't go up. That's right.
I'm loving it. If that's what this is, then all is forgiven with this angle, because that's fucking great. And then, of course, you start thinking, like, this greedy, greedy character. He's so greedy. He's so greedy. Well, he's obviously not Jewish. Wait, he brings up his lawyer that he's brought into this, Saul Goldberg. Saul Goldberg. his lawyer who's tearing apart these contracts at Gary Hart. And I'm like, well, that just took an anti-Semitic turn. But yeah, I could forgive a lot of the time. It's wrestling. I loved it. They somehow managed to tie it all together. And it's fascinating.
And while you're at it, cover the Ric Flair segment, because I thought this was hilarious.
Oh, boy. Oh. But the Ric Flair segment?
Where they try to call him and they get a
second. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm sorry. I literally just. I wrote down. Just, okay. I know what you're talking about now. So they say that Bill Mercer tries to call Ric Flair's office.
To get a comment. Yeah.
To get a comment from Ric Flair. Okay. I got it. Then they go to commercial with. Apparently, Bill Mercer is recording his comments, and he's harassing this lovely young lady who works as a secretary at Ric Flair Enterprises. And her name is Nora Jean, and she's perfectly nice. You know, and just, well, Mr. Flair is just very busy right now, and I've given him your messages before. And ma'am, it's Bill Mercer. It's very important. I know, sir, we've spoken before. I've passed on your messages already. Well, you must get it to him. I was like, Bill Mercer is harassing this lovely young lady just trying to do her job. It's like 30 seconds of this. It's bonkers.
I love how Bundy does explain it, and they put logic into the angle, so I really like that. I always hate when they give you angles that don't have logic, even though, I mean, it's kind of, you know, it's a stretch, but it's still good. It's good. And explains
it's good
why
enough.
Bundy is angry. I like how they, with Flair, how they do the, like, the soap opera actors in the coma, so you never see his face, but you just see his from the neck down because they don't want to pay the guy. Just to lay in a bed, so I enjoy. They kind of do that with Ric Flair. They don't want to pay him to kind of like do a little pre-tape for him. So they do the, he goes to the secretary, and then they get the same thing, and pretty much a no comment. So I just enjoyed the how they were able to work it all together. I enjoyed it. What about you, Kelly?
Yeah, I mean, on the surface, it's pretty cheesy stuff with Bundy eating the chicken wings at, yeah, it was like some industrial area, probably like right behind the auditorium.
Well, so implies he's lazy as well as greedy because he's working, but he seems to be just laying around eating chicken.
Which may be a good touch, nice touch, you know, because he's still basically a heel. All he cares about is money. Yeah, I mean, it ties in Bundy's long story about how he turned heel in the first place because he wanted more money. He's all about the money. It ties in the strike storyline, the breakup with Gary Hart, and the bounty and everything. So actually, it was well done in that regard.
Yeah, like they put a nice ribbon on everything, you know?
Yeah, everything sort of, you know, came together in a nice little package. And just in time for Star Wars. And so it was fine. The interview that Mercer tried to get was hilarious because I didn't see that one coming. That one just came out of nowhere.
Were you trying to be sinister there? Because mission accomplished.
No, that was from an old Simpsons episode. I'm all about the 90s comedies, and yeah, it was cheesy, but it was also logical. Better than the fucking matches they've been putting on. That's
since for damn sure. That, man. They,
yes.
They yeah. Close up with Kerry and Killer Tim Brooks.
Yeah.
And yeah, it wasn't that bad.
No, I was going to say. I spoke too soon, maybe.
It wasn't too bad. What do you think?
Yeah. It's the best match we've seen on TV in ages. It's just, it's short, but, I mean, Kerry and Brooks start brawling before the introductions are even completed. Kerry's still got his robe on. I like that. I like a start like that. Scrappy.
I think I would have had the finish be stronger than a roll-up again.
Well, yeah. I mean, yeah, the finish was what it was, but...
He's only at 90%.
Exactly. He, remember, the last week he It took him more than 5 minutes to beat Destroyer number two, for Christ's sakes.
And I also think part of the problem is, like, because the roster is so small, like, Killer Tim Brooks is going to be working semi-mains and stuff, where he's not a...
Yeah.
He is a jobber, but because the roster is so pitiful...
He's doing double shots.
Gotta work,
he's doing double shots. Probably. They do tape two TVs at the same time. He's probably doing a tag team match and in a main event.
Yeah.
No, it I liked it. It was a gritty match, befitting, you know, Brooks's persona. And you had some, like, real rough stuff at the end where, before the finish, Kerry went over the ropes to do a splash, and Brooks got his knees up, but it was kind of messy how it was done. It looked very reckless.
Yeah.
And so that added to the grittiness of it. And then, and then Kerry put the knees up for Brooks, and then the roll up. Yeah, this was cool. Like I said, best match we've seen in a long time.
What were your thoughts, John?
Well, my current thought is, after hearing Kelly say gritty three times, I was like, if they ever make one of those High Spots documentaries about Killer Tim Brooks, it's got to be called Gritty.
The Killer Tim Brooks story.
Because not only does it describe his offense, it describes literally what he looks like. Just filthy. He's a filthy man. And yeah, this was fun. You know, I was just like, oh, really? All I wrote down about the match is, I was like, oh, this is fun. I was like, it just made me think, you know, Killer Tim Brooks ain't bad. You know, I was like, most of the time I've ever seen Killer Tim Brooks, he's been surrounded by a lot better people. Not so right now. And so Killer Tim Brooks ain't bad. And yeah, I mean, he's got his robe off. Here, Bill say, he's like, he goes, it's time to get his robe off and get down to business. And Bronco is helping him. I was like, is he hot? And I'm not picking on Jay here, but that's the only thing I'm going to say. He got to talking about Hacksaw Jim Duggan, and he said Hacksaw Jim Duggan, which is perfectly fine. I used to say it too. I assumed, when I'd read about him just in the magazines, I assumed it was Duggan because mainly of Sergeant Fury and his Howling Commandos, which Kelly and I did a episode of our old podcast Imaginary Stories on, that you can find onto the Place to Be Nation of Pop or Pop Network. And it's Dum Dum Duggan. So he's Duggan. The first time I heard it on TV, Duggan, I'm like, oh, so that's what it is. Now, you had Bill Watts saying it wrong all the time, and he was the boss. When Jay says Duggan, it's just hearing Jay say it, it sounds so dumb. Duggan. A-plus performance with just one little Jay there. But it's not even his fault. But, yeah, fun. Again, like, if you told me a Killer Tim Brooks match against Kerry was going to be one of the most fun things I watched on TV this week, I'd be like, it's going to be a bad week.
Well, on that note, man, and we'll wrap it up here. Kelly, anything you need to let the listeners know about?
I don't think so. No, I'm just doing this show.
Johnny Sorrow?
Just one last thing. I meant the 90% thing. Kerry does a little promo here, and he's explaining why his performance is a certain way. And he goes, well, the way I figure it, I'm only at 90%. Give me a month. So he really knows his own body. 90%. That's why. But no, just that.
I'm in. Check me out on This Week in Wrestling. And, of course, we always drop this show Wednesdays, WorldCast Wednesday. Have a great week. And support any type of wrestling you want to watch. Laters.
My heartaches and troubles are just up and gone. The moment that you come in view, and with your hand in mine, dear, I could dance on and on, and I could walk. waltz across Texas with you. Waltz across Texas with you in my arms. Waltz across Texas with you. Like a storybook ending, I'm lost in your charms, and I could waltz across Texas with you.